In this era of hand sanitizers, of hand washing to keep germs and disease at bay, it's pretty startling to realize it wasn't all that long ago when doctors were actually insulted at the suggestion they should wash their hands before touching a patient. 165 years ago this month, a Hungarian obstetrician named Ignaz Semmelweis stood before his peers in Vienna and demanded they begin washing their hands. To say his advice was not well received is an understatement. University of Michigan physician and medical historian Dr. Howard Markell is back with us again. Dr. Markell, we in 2015 would be horrified if our doctor didn't wash his or her hands before examining us. But take us back to the mid-19th century.
Well, it was 1850 when he made that speech, and he based it on his own observations as an obstetrician, where the mortality rate of women delivering babies was incredible. About a third of the women who came to the Vienna General Hospital died of something called puerperal fever or childbed fever. And in fact, it's an infection. It's a group A streptococcus, we know now, but they only called it a morbid poison back then.
They didn't know what else to call it.
They didn't know what to call it. They didn't know about microbes. And it really originates from the odd fact that these doctors and their medical students would first go to the autopsy room to examine the cadavers of who died the day before, and then go into the delivery suites and do their pelvic examinations and actually infect these women during child delivery.
My stomach turns.
Oh, it should. And what a terrible way to go. I mean, it caused fevers and abscesses and sepsis. And generally, you died within about 24 hours after delivering your baby. So it was quite bad. And here's the weirdest irony. If you delivered at home, whether you were helped by a relative or a midwife, oh, maybe 1 to 5 out of 100,000 women would develop childbed fever. If you went to the vaunted Vienna General Hospital, the Parnassus of medicine,
yeah,
1/3 of the women died. So something was going on.
Something was going on. And as you say, there was no awareness of microbes. So this really, the hand washing idea and the clean, nobody had ever done it.
No, and the idea that I, as a physician, would infect my patients was laughable. All these were men. They considered themselves gentlemen. And to have some morbid poison dripping from their hands was just completely rejected.
And now, Semmelweis had been trying this out, had he not, before he made this big speech. Did he have his medical students?
Yeah, he decided to have his students, as well as himself, wash their hands with a chlorine antiseptic solution. And they washed until you could no longer smell that putrid smell of dealing with dead cadavers. That was the test.
Okay, great.
And he found that the rate of childbed fever on that ward plummeted. Yet Semmelweis was an odd duck. Even then, the dictum was publish or perish, and yet he refused to publish for many years, for more than a decade. And it wasn't until 3 or 4 years after he made his discovery that he finally gave a speech about it at the Vienna Medical Society, which was really a very important place to make announcements of discoveries.
And that's the speech 165 years ago this month. So he said to the esteemed audience,
wash your hands.
And they said,
what are you talking about? You're a nut. And the fact, you know, Semmelweis was not only a brilliant man, he was a very prickly guy. And he didn't suffer fools gladly, but he also did not deal with insults or what he perceived to be an insult very well. And so if he felt insulted, he would hurl back even worse insults. He was a rattlesnake of a guy. Mm. And that never seems to go very well for most people, but especially in academic medicine, where you have enemies who will want to nail you for whatever reason they can. And Semmelweis certainly earned the enmity of many of his colleagues.
So what happened?
Well, fast forward, he didn't really publish his work for another 11 years after that famous speech.
He kept washing his hands. He had his medical students wash their hands.
Kept arguing with colleagues to tell them to wash their hands.
And you'd look at his wards and the rates were so much lower, you would think, why wouldn't they agree with him?
Yeah. And again, it was just this combativeness that people just didn't believe it. And he'd also fled Vienna. In the very late 1840s, he went back to Budapest. He didn't even tell his best friends. He continued on his merry way of antagonizing everyone, both people who didn't like him or didn't agree with him and those who really wanted to help him, those who did agree with him. And when he finally published his book in 1861, it's a wonderful book, by the way, filled with good data, good experimental information.
Scientifically sound.
Scientifically sound. And yet it's also filled with insults and anger that leaps off the page, and he lists his enemies and derides them in print. And he became more and more erratic. He wasn't just arguing with people or yelling with people. He became quite insane. And finally, in 1865, in July, the end of July of 1865, he was committed to an insane asylum. And a lot of theories, what was going on? Did he have bipolar disease? Some felt he had early Alzheimer's disease. Some people felt he may have infected himself with syphilis while operating either on a patient or dissecting a cadaver, something that happened all the time, by the way, back then.
Because we weren't wearing gloves, were we?
No one wore gloves, and people, you always nick yourself then and now. There's a high risk of that occupational hazard. Syphilis, too, will make you insane. So he was quite crazy, quite mad, and within a few weeks he was dead. And some even believe that his captors, the insane asylum guards, beat him to death. But it was a tragic, tragic end. He also had bad timing, not only for that, but germ theory wasn't really taking off yet. And so it was a few years before Pasteur came on the scene, and then Lord Lister, a surgeon in Scotland, told people to wash their hands.
And when then, we see that bottle of Listerine, we know after him. Yeah.
It's named after him.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And they
then,
didn't develop it.
And then we spoke a few months ago, Robert Koch, with his discoveries of tuberculosis and so on. So he's a little bit too early.
With those discoveries and that knowledge, then looking back a little further, the hand washing began to make sense.
It did indeed. And as the decades passed, and certainly by the turn of the last century, Semmelweis was elevated to the pantheon of medical heroes, but not in real time. He was derided. There were many who felt he was not dignified enough to even be called doctor. He had his share of enemies, and that is a great tragedy. He died at the age of 47.
The moral of the story seems to be doctor doesn't always know best, at least in that era with that audience.
Or other doctors don't always know best. This particular doctor knew quite well. Yeah, and the message is as important as the medium, I would imagine. How you deliver a message is equally as important. And it is a sad tale of how personalities sometimes get in the way of fact, real science. And isn't that a tragedy that we're still dealing with on a daily basis today?
Dr. Howard Markel, always a joy to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.